and thought of merging more fully when they got back to the hotel. Their hotel room overlooked a quiet New York street covered in a blanket of white. He undressed her slowly, peeling away the layers until all that remained were her delicate panties. He stood behind her, trailed his lips over the skin of her shoulder, felt her shudder when he grazed his teeth up the tender skin of her throat. The reflection of their bodies superimposed on the glass, like they were part of the outside scene, even as they stood in the dark warmth 4 stories above. It never got old and always felt new. The feel of her soft flesh under his hands, sliding along his lips, her sweet scent, something he only ever associated with Mia. He kissed around the shell of her ear, then paused and spent some time on the sensitive spot just behind. Her soft sighs and quick inhales were his guide. They were like one heart in sync. Fluidly, she turned in his arms, and he kissed her cheeks, her forehead, then watched as she reached up to undo the buttons of his shirt. He let her work the shirt off and sighed when her hands ran over him. Almost lost his plans of slow seduction when she laid a line of open-mouth kisses across his chest. He caught her face, tilted it up to his, and ravaged her mouth. Just shy of rough, he nipped at her bottom lip, plundered until he felt her sway. He laid her on the bed, drank in the sight of her, from her toes to her eyes, then, with his lips, he tasted her the same way. Starting slowly at her feet and working his way up, laying small kisses behind her knees, then taking some time at her thighs, and higher until she was squirming, lifting her hips, begging him to focus on that center where she needed him. But he was going to make this last. He was going to love her all night. He had no need for sleep. She reached for him, trying to pull him up, trying to rush him.
Shh, be patient.
No, I'm not patient. He brushed his lips back over her abdomen, nipped at her hip.
My Mia, so hungry for more.
Yes, she whispered. Please. When he skimmed his hands over her nipples, her breath hitched. He lifted his head to watch her face as he cupped her breast, molded it in his rough palm, felt her tremble and arch into him when he drew her into his mouth. Her skin was hot now, damp with sweat, as he drew that knee to the surface. He kissed her parted lips.
I love the way you look at me when I touch you.
I'm not looking, I can't think.
Exactly. Your eyes glaze over. You lose focus until I know there's nothing going on in that head of yours but me. Just us in this bed, and my hands on you.
He traced down her stomach and over her hips. He was patient in his exploration, even more determined every time she quivered in response to his touch. He ran his palms up the insides of her thighs, his thumbs going closer and closer with every pass. Nick?
I'm right here.
I know, but I want...
I know what you want. I know what you need.
He hooked his fingers in the elastic on either side of her waist, slid the last silken barrier away, and now he was the one quivering. Even in the darkness of the room, he could clearly see her outline, the curves of her pale skin, the shadow between her legs. He made himself at home there and drove her to the edge again and again before finally taking her over. She lay limp and loose, and he pressed his hammering heart to her chest, skin to skin. He needed to cover himself with her, her scent and voice, and fill himself up for however long it would be before he was with her again. This is what he dreamed of every night when they were apart. She was real, and he was here with her. The storm gathered, and the heat rose as he pushed inside.
I love you. I love you, Mia. You're everything, everything.
He didn't hold back now. as if being inside her broke down any barriers he might have had, and the words flowed. He whispered them as he moved. She was all. His life. His heart. Then he pressed a kiss to the arched column of her throat, held his lips there as she cried out her release, and he followed. He'd been back in Virginia exactly 1 month, dreaming every night of a New York hotel room, when he answered the door. His heart took a leap. Mia stood on his front porch, suitcase beside her, a huge smile lighting her eyes. He yanked her into his arms, kissed her hard, then pulled back.
You came for Hannah's birthday. God, she's going to be so happy. And I'm going to love you even more than I already do if you say you'll stay long enough to go out to eat with 9 13-year-olds.
I'll stay longer than that. I'm coming back, Nick. I'm coming home. Chapter 10. Present Day. Nick's eyes were locked on Mia's before her receptionist closed the office door behind him. He hadn't known what to say to her earlier at the hospital. He still didn't. What did you say to someone who'd owned your heart? She faced him, her wide brown desk between them. They stood there a long minute, just staring at each other, several feet separating them. Maybe she wanted to look at him as much as he wanted to look at her. He wondered what she was remembering. He remembered everything. Mia and her big brown eyes that seemed to take up her whole face, the feathered brow he'd traced all the times he watched her sleep, the full lips he always had to kiss once more before they parted. But those dark, sultry eyes had taken his breath away the first time he'd seen her, the same way they did now. For a second, his gut twisted over what had been. What was gone. Her once long black hair that had also captured him barely touched her shoulders now and contrasted with the white blouse she wore. The classic black pencil skirt showcased her slim legs he knew well. She looked not really older, but more mature. Just as beautiful, her face more sculpted, cheekbones even more pronounced. No other woman had ever meant anything. Couldn't even remember another woman's face. Because he'd never even considered moving on, never considered having a future with someone else.
You cut your hair,
he said, an idiotic thing to say when he wanted to tell her that how beautiful she was and how even though things had gone wrong between them, it was still good to see her, that he still cared. But he didn't say any of that. Yes. She touched the ends absently, like she'd forgotten it was there.
It looks good.
Thanks. She lifted her chin slightly, her shoulders stiff as if bracing for a hit. You look good, too. The same. He could barely breathe past the lump in his throat and the knot in his belly. This day had been his perfect storm, an emotional tidal wave. His fragile sister spending time with a man he couldn't control, seeing her back in the hospital, and then Mia. For a man who survived by being in control, he was drowning. Even with everything swirling around him, he couldn't take his eyes off the woman looking at him like he'd broken her heart and had now come to finish her off. His gaze fell to a photo on her desk, a baby with a toothless smile.
You have a child?
The pain that sliced through him was sharp and swift. They'd talked a lot about the children they would have together. No. She flicked a glance up at him, then away, her long lashes shielding her eyes. I don't. She angled the picture away from him, not willing to share something so obviously painful and personal. That hurt, even after all this time. It was the defeat in her voice that softened him. The pain in her eyes was like ice water on his anger, and he had to fight the urge to soothe her. He rubbed his hand over the back of his neck, glancing around her office. A photo of her parents sat on a shelf next to her framed medical board certification.
How are your parents?
She followed his gaze to another photo. They died a few years ago.
I'm sorry.
She nodded. My mom died first, a sudden heart attack. My father followed soon after. An only child to older parents, that meant Mia was alone. And he hadn't been there for her like she had been for him. Or maybe she wasn't alone, even though he'd automatically looked for a ring and not seen one.
You're not married?
She clasped her hands together, right over left. No. Her dark eyes met his, and the force of it almost knocked him back a step. No, I never married. Never married? He wondered if Hannah had told her he'd never married either. His sister, which is why he was here.
I wanted to talk about Hannah.
I didn't think you'd come to talk about my hair. Her shoulders dropped, and she sank into the leather chair behind her desk as if a chance had just been lost. She made him ache for her, making him crazy, and he couldn't even explain to himself the anger that she could still do both. Mia would have been expecting him at the hospital. He was the one who'd been blindsided. Like a bolt of lightning, she'd flashed back into his life without warning. No, not my life, he reminded himself. My sister's life. Behind his back and without a word for him, the only woman he'd ever loved seemed to be back in his life without even bothering to tell him.
How long have you been seeing Hannah?
I don't give out information on my patients.
You don't think I should know she was seeing a psychiatrist?
I'm a therapist.
You're a doctor.
I was. A surgeon. I'm not anymore. And no, I didn't think you had a right to know. She's a grown woman, Nick. Old enough to make her own decisions and be responsible for her own health, mental and otherwise. Or do you still take her to the doctor for checkups? He ignored the dig. And though he wanted to know why she wasn't a surgeon anymore, he made himself focus.
I want to know why she came to you and how she's doing. Why didn't you know she was going to...
Have a panic attack?
Yes. And why didn't you know she'd had them before?
Because you still think people should know things before they happen?
That's not what this is about.
Mia shook her head. That's what it's always been about. He felt the regret rising. But this was now, and he didn't want to add even more.
Tell her not to see him anymore.
I won't do that. He gaped at her.
Why the hell not?
Because I don't think it's what's best for her.
And you think McKinney is good for her? How can you say that? She just had a panic attack after not having one for years.
That you know of. Right. Once again reminding him he didn't know everything.
I don't think it's coincidence she had one now after getting involved with him.
You'll have to ask her. She's 26.
I know how old she is. And why the hell are you even seeing her? Isn't that against your rules?
Normally, I wouldn't see someone I know personally, but I made an exception. I wasn't going to leave her hanging if she needed help, and she wouldn't see anyone else. She really just needed someone to talk to.
Why didn't she come to me? Talk to me. I'm always there for her, always.
And what would you have said?
If she needed to see someone, I would have called. I would have found a doctor. I would have taken her.
I think that was the point. He stared at her, not getting the point. Because she didn't want you to take her. Didn't want you to make the call.
So?
He sighed, feeling like a failure all over again.
Is she okay?
You'll have to ask her. But I'll tell you this much, and that's all. I think she is. She had a nightmare. She remembered things, and it brought the past to the surface. If you want to know more, you'll have to talk to her. Do you need to be worried? No, I don't think so. You don't have the right to know everything anymore. That is the sad truth. The double-edged sword of being a parent, I guess. They're yours to take care of until one day you're not allowed to anymore. Something wavered in her voice, like she wasn't only talking about him. He wanted to know what and why. two people who'd slept together, touched every part of each other, and now struggled to even look each other in the eye. But that was a long time ago, a lifetime ago, even if it felt like yesterday. He ran his hands through his hair, taking a second to gather himself.
Why didn't I know? Hannah didn't want... Not about Hannah. Why didn't I know about you? You've been here how long?
There was no way to talk to you without it being about Hannah. No reason to.
No reason to?
He took a step toward her, aching to reach out, then stopped. Remembered she'd left him when he needed her most.
And say what?
Emotion flared in her eyes. Anger. Hurt. She stood and came around her desk.
Did you have a reason?
I haven't been in hiding, Nick. I haven't entered witness protection. Though you're an FBI agent, so even if I had, I guess you still could have found me. She closed her eyes and let out a deep breath, like she wished she hadn't said that. He knew her face well. The next second, she waved it off like she didn't want to talk about it anymore. Like it didn't matter. Like he couldn't see the hurt in her eyes.
Well, he was hurt too, damn it. So he said what was at the surface, dying to come out. Low, rough with years of emotion. You left me.
Her chest rose with a sudden breath. Her eyes widened for 1 second before closing him off.
And you let me go.
They stared at each other, letting both accusations sink in. More hurt, more regret. He was 2 steps out the door, thinking this is what he wanted, for him to be the one walking away this time. But it only added to the mountain of wrongs. He turned back.
Mia.
She was on the phone and didn't look up. Probably didn't even hear him whisper her name. Just as well. Chapter 11. The crowd was light, the air of the pool bar dark and heavy like his mood. Nick glanced over at the sound of a cue ball cracking. It was rare for him and Zack to be off on the same night, even more rare for Luke to be with them. He was hoping for some beers to take the edge off this day. Seeing Mia had screwed with his head, to say the least. He hadn't gone to her office to fight with her or accuse her, but, damn it, it hurt that she'd been seeing Hannah. Made him feel cheated in some way. High-pitched laughter came from the bar, and they turned at the sound of Zack's name on women's lips.
Think you have some fans,
Luke said, lining up his shot 8 feet from a dartboard illuminated by a beer sign above. Zack shrugged and took the darts his brother passed.
What can I say? I'm good at making friends.
Luke made a sound of disagreement as Zack took his shot.
I think friends might be a bit of a gray area. 50 shades, Zack said, grinning. Good God,
Nick murmured, thinking how Mia had always said the opposite about him. That he was straight up black or white, right or wrong, always needing an answer, a reason.
What? You always wanted me to read. Informative book, that one.
He raised his beer bottle at his brother's.
You might want to give it a try.
Luke cracked a smile, and Nick just shook his head. Zack finished his turn and came over for his beer.
You know,
he started slowly.
You looked like you'd seen a ghost in that hospital room. Like you wanted to run and wanted to fall on your knees at her feet, all rolled into one. I've actually never seen a guy with such obvious problems.
Nick stared at the label on his beer.
You don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen her, talked to her in years.
Luke sent him a long, appraising look.
That doesn't always tell the whole story.
No, it didn't. But he wanted to snap that Luke didn't know what the hell he was talking about, that he'd barely met Mia before he'd left to join the military. But that would only bring up another black mark of his past.
I'll get the next round.
Luke drained his beer and abruptly pushed away from the table.
What's got his balls in a wad?
Knowing it wasn't the type of question that required an answer, Nick just sipped his beer as Luke made his way to a seat at the bar. He'd had no idea his brother was coming home on leave, had no idea when he'd be gone again. He was quiet. More so than he'd always been? Maybe. But if something was going on with Luke, he wouldn't know it. He'd screwed up things so badly with his brother he was afraid to ask. It had been over 20 years, but some things couldn't be fixed. Some words couldn't be taken back. He'd been 19 years old and hanging by a thread. Taking care of Hannah and going to school, Nick had been eager for Luke to step up and take on more of the responsibility. That dream ended when Nick arrived at the high school stadium for Dallas's and Zach's football game. Nick cringed at the memory. The game clock showed 28 seconds. The other team had the ball, which meant he'd missed seeing Dallas and Zach play. Again. Both gifted athletes and so damn proud to have made varsity as freshmen. His parents wouldn't have missed a game. But he'd had a lab to make up, then a study group to get notes from a class he'd missed when Hannah had a cold the week before. And there was Luke, angry and bitter about their parents' senseless deaths and about Nick taking control. Or trying to. Nick spotted him from a distance, tall and proud, like a prize stud surrounded by adoring females. Good old Luke, living it up while I'd bust my ass. Would it kill him to give his little brother some attention? He stalked across the backfield, pissed at Luke, pissed at himself, and frustrated with his whole damn life as the home team counted the last 10 seconds on the game clock. The closer he got, the more he saw. And he didn't see Hannah, whom on this rare occasion he'd left in Luke's care. God forbid he ask Luke to help out for a few hours. So, occupied by the girls, Luke didn't notice Nick until he was nearly on top of him.
"Where's Hannah?"
Nick demanded.
"Huh?"
At 17, Luke almost matched him in height and outweighed him by a small margin. But that snotty teenage attitude was getting old, and he grabbed his brother by the shirt.
"Where the fuck is your sister?"
"Get off me!"
Luke shoved back, cocky, saving face in front of the girls.
"Asshole!"
he muttered plenty loud for Nick to hear him.
"She's right over there!"
Luke pointed to a couple of younger girls, maybe 12 or 13, bunched in a giggling huddle on the bleachers.
"I left her right there with Morgan's sister."
Luke stormed over.
"Where's Hannah?"
"We don't know."
"What do you mean you don't know? Damn it, you said you'd..."
"Hey!"
One of Luke's female admirers grabbed his arm.
"Don't yell at her!"
Pure panic seized him. With his hand stabbing through his hair, Nick turned in a circle. The game was over, and the crowd moved like a sea in every direction.
"I told her to stay right there,"
Luke said, still full of attitude.
"Are you kidding me? She's barely 3 years old. You have to watch her, damn it. I told you to watch her."
"Hey, Nick!"
Dallas ran over.
"Did you see us? I scored." "Sorry, I didn't. Hannah's missing."
Zach jogged over, stopping at his brother's side, and Nick barely gave him a glance. Yet another strike against him. He scoured the bleachers left and right, bottom to top, and... oh, God. His heart stopped. There she was, sitting at the very top of the stadium on the wrong side of a yellow strip of caution tape blowing in the breeze. Caution because the last section of the chain-link safety fence that ran along the back of the bleachers was loose and gaping open, exactly behind his baby sister, as she swung her tiny feet, mouth moving, probably in one of her silly little songs. He took the bleachers 2 at a time, some 3 at a time, flying over the seemingly endless rows. Nick was a foot away when she swung her legs too hard and toppled back. Her golden eyes went wide with fear, and time hung for an eternity. He grabbed her arm and in one hard jerk pulled her to him. She latched on, crying into his neck, scared and probably hurt where he'd maybe jerked her arm out of the socket. He could have cried too, but instead he made his way back to his brother,
His fuck-up, no-good idiot brother whom he was sick of dealing with. Fury and grief over his parents' deaths overwhelmed him, along with the crushing responsibility that had fallen to his shoulders and a burning fear that had his heart still racing. And as black as death, it all came down on Luke. As the next oldest brother, he should have been helping Nick instead of making it harder. Nick shoved him hard in the shoulder.
What the hell is wrong with you? She could have died. Do you realize that? Do you have such little care that you'd rather score a chick than guard your sister's life?
He went on, the scolding and blame pouring out right there in front of the dispersing crowd, the girls, the twins, and Hannah. He screamed every bit of it.
You're supposed to be helping me, for God's sake, not making everything worse. How can you be so selfish?
He jabbed a finger into Luke's chest.
You're going to ruin this. You're going to get Hannah taken away and put in foster care with strangers.
Luke hadn't said a word in response. He'd stood there and taken it, then turned and walked across the parking lot, gotten in his truck, and drove away. He'd left that very night. Used a fake ID to enlist in the army. They didn't see him again for 6 years. He wondered if their relationship could be salvaged or if it had been too long. He wondered if both he and Luke were too proud to make things right. Could the past be left in the past? Was it possible to dig out of such a deep hole of regret? A common theme with him in relationships. He sipped his beer and watched Luke at the bar, nodding and grinning at yet another female falling under his trance. Part of his anger with Mia was pride, a large part. He'd ended up failing Hannah in bigger ways than they could have ever imagined. He'd failed Mia, too. He'd given her a reason to leave him. Knowing all that didn't make it any easier to fix. Zack stood, taking the darts for his turn.
If I hit this dead center, both of you have to call me Supreme Master for a year. How about Supreme Dumbass?
Luke suggested, returning with 3 cold bottles and a basket of cheese fries. Zack fired and hit just left. Luke raised his beer in mock salute at Zack.
You talked to Dallas lately? No,
Nick answered, knowing the question was aimed at him. He wasn't the only one who felt like the three of them together made the fourth brother's absence more pronounced. When was the last time all 4 of them were together? Zack let another dart fly, and they watched it hit just outside the center.
But you know where he is? Luke said. No,
Nick answered.
I don't. He called a while back just to say he was fine, but he wouldn't be able to talk for a while. So he's gone under, Luke offered. That'd be my guess.
When you worked for the DEA and you couldn't talk to your family, that's pretty much what it meant. He hated that his brother was doing undercover work. It was dangerous enough being in a drug organization if you were a bad guy, but when you were playing both sides, not good. He stood and took a turn, followed by Luke. Zack stood, took a dart, and hit dead center.
Boom! Beat that, suckers! What do you do, practice every damn day? Gotta find something to do when I'm not on call. It can't be all about the ladies, though I'm sure they wish it was.
Nick often worried about Z's lack of ambition. He was the poster boy for easygoing. The more solemn and serious his twin Dallas had become after their parents' accident, the more Zack had gone the other way. He'd taken on lightening the mood as his personal mission, his place in the family. Maybe Nick should just be glad he'd had one sibling turn out relatively undamaged by his upbringing. He checked his phone again. He'd called Hannah 3 times before getting a text saying that if he didn't stop asking if she was okay, she was going to turn her phone off. Then she'd sent him an emoji of a helicopter. Funny.
I hit this, Zack said, glancing back at Luke. You give me the Derby trophy. I told you I don't know where it is. Well, find it. I want it.
Zack concentrated on the board, and Nick shook his head at the ongoing argument. I don't know why you think you should have it anyway.
Zack dropped his arm and spun, frustration all over his face.
Because I put the wheels on. How many times do I have to say it? I put the wheels on straight, and you know that's the only reason you won.
Exactly, Luke said.
I won. You were only in that troop with me because Dad was the leader.
You're such a dick, Zack said.
Luke just shrugged, and Zack took his shot. It was an old argument, mostly meant as a joke, but there'd been a bit of truth in it as well, because that soapbox derby car had been built with their dad, and except for the memories of that day, the trophy was all that was left. Maybe that's why Zack continued to bring it up, to talk about it, to remember it. They were lucky to have the memories. Cub Scouts, Little League, elaborate birthday cakes. All long before Hannah was born. All things she hadn't had.
So? Weird seeing Mia after all this time, huh? She looks good.
Zack gave him a quick study before going back to the fries.
You really haven't talked to her at all? Not in all this time?
No.
Luke stared at him, not even trying to be subtle.
You didn't know she was here?
No.
He slid Luke a glance.
Did you? No, but I haven't been here.
They both looked at Zack.
Nope, not me. I stay out of Han's business, mostly. But she didn't tell you she was here.
Luke gave him a "that sucks, dude" look, with a touch of rare brotherly concern.
You more pissed she's seeing Han, or that she's not seeing you?
Good question. A very good question, and one he knew the answer to. Chapter 12 12 years ago. In the early light of morning, they fell apart panting and so damn happy. Eternally overscheduled and exhausted, but happy. Mia finished her residency at University Hospital in Charlottesville and now worked in emergency surgery. His work in the FBI was demanding, in addition to the commute and taking care of Hannah. Zack was still around to pitch in, and it worked, especially right now. Nick slung his arm over his face, laughed softly, then glanced at Mia, breathing as heavily as he was. When he could muster up the energy, he rolled to pull her against him until her breasts pressed into his chest. He ran a hand down her back, then squeezed her bottom and left his hand there. There. That was perfect. He sighed and sank into the minutes they had left.
We need a vacation.
Mia snuggled into him, made a sound of agreement.
And we need to get married.
She made another sound of agreement and smiled against his chest. Yeah, like either of us has time for a vacation or a wedding.
We could elope.
Tempting. My parents would kill me after they killed you. And Hannah would cry over not getting all dolled up.
True.
Threading his fingers through her hair, he tilted her face to his. Lightly touched a finger to her beautiful, smiling lips.
But as soon as we get a break, we'll do both.
Yes, but things are good now, right? His hand cruised over and under the curve of her bottom, and he pulled her thigh higher over his, bringing her flush against him.
If they got any better, I might not survive.
He wanted her again already. It was like this with them, their hearts always beating to the same wild rhythm. 4 days later, when he finally got off work early enough to catch his breath, Nick walked into Gary Mason's jewelers. He and Mia's conversation in bed had been turning over in his mind. He wanted everything to be perfect, and knew she did too. The perfect time, the perfect start to their married life. Perfect was overrated, and he was done thinking it to death. No more calendar comparisons, no more excuses. He loved her. He wanted to marry her. Yeah, they were already spending their life together, living in sin, but he wanted more. He wanted his ring on her finger. That part, at least, didn't have to wait. He had at least an hour, more if he needed it, since Mia was picking up Hannah today. He moved decisively down the glass case with an exact picture in his mind of the ring. He just had to find it. And he did. The delicate white gold band was perfect for Mia's slim fingers. The 2-carat square-cut diamond was set so low it wouldn't get in her way at work. Clear, sparkling, and even more beautiful for its simplicity, just like Mia. Nick walked out of the jewelry store elated. They'd take this step now, and the rest of it wouldn't wait much longer. She was off graveyard rotation this Thursday, and he was between big cases for the moment, so it would have to be then. His pulse skittered and danced, thinking of how he would ask her. At dinner? Maybe in bed. Because after she said yes, her clothes wouldn't stay on long. He fingered the small velvet-lined box in his pocket, very nearly whistling a tune. He rarely got excited, was often accused of being too reserved to the point of needing his pulse checked, but it was going to be damn hard to wait until Thursday. His cell buzzed in his other pocket, and he clicked the button to answer, noting it was almost 4:30. Mia would have picked up Hannah from UVA by now. Jesus, his sister was smart. 14 and taking 2 college classes, and kicking ass at them. He smiled again, knowing the two of them would be singing at the top of their lungs to some chick song on the radio, probably calling to ask what he wanted them to pick up for dinner.
Hey, babe.
Nick.
There was a strangled tone to her voice he'd never heard before, enough to bring him to a dead halt in the middle of the sidewalk.
Mia?
Hannah's missing.
Hannah's missing. The 2 words that would shape and scrape and chip away at the rest of all their lives. Those same 2 words from years ago at the football game, only he knew in his gut that this time it was much worse. Present day. A few days after seeing Mia in her office, Nick stood in line behind his partner Mike at the sandwich counter, serving deli sandwiches, salads, and coffees. Norfolk's Yo-Yo Cafe was a popular spot near his office, and well worth the wait. He'd even tried their take-home casseroles a few times. Closest thing to a home-cooked meal. And just being one person, they lasted him a few days.
"So you won't believe what my wife says to me yesterday," Mike says. "She says, 'Why'd you marry me if you hate my sister?' I said, 'I don't hate your sister.' I'm thinking to myself, she can be annoying. Maybe she stays too long when she comes, but I don't say that, do I?" "Of course not."
5'10", with dark hair and a soft face, Mike Stanislavski was straight up Jersey. A damn good agent and tougher than he looked, except when it came to his wife, Teresa. Mike turned to order his sandwich, and Nick ran his gaze over the nearby tables. The Cobb salad looked good. So did the Reuben. He was just about to check out the menu written on a giant black chalkboard behind the counter when he caught sight of Mia. She sat alone, facing the wall at a small table back in the corner, but he knew it was her. His heart thumped. He still wasn't over the shock of seeing her after all this time, and he was glad for the moment now to just look at her. It gave him time to breathe, bombarded with all the feelings and memories that weren't really memories because they were always right there. Then a man slid into the seat across from her in a smooth way that said it wasn't the first time they'd eaten together.
"Sir?"
He jerked his attention back to the counter and the man impatiently waiting for his order. He gave it and caught up with Mike at a table.
"So,"
Mike continued as soon as Nick sat,
"Ben, she says, I'm keeping her from seeing her sister because I mentioned there was the game on Saturday."
Nick struggled to focus on Mike when what he really wanted to do was stare at the guy sitting across from Mia.
"You don't want her sister there during the game?"
"No, I don't want her sister's husband there during the game."
"Why?"
Mike looked at him like he was an idiot.
"Because he's a fucking Sox from Boston."
"Oh."
Nick stared past Mike at the man sitting with Mia. His sandy brown hair was long enough to flop over his forehead, and he wore a brown leather jacket and black skinny jeans.
Who wore a leather jacket in May? Who the hell wore skinny jeans?
Mike glanced behind, then back.
Uh-oh. Huh?
A young girl brought their sandwiches and took the little stand with their table number.
I know that's not your sister. No, she's not.
The guy leaned toward Mia, elbows on the table, close into her space. Her arms were also on the table. She didn't lean into him, but she didn't back away either. Instead, she slid him a second cup of coffee, which he took with a smile.
She'd bought him coffee?
She was meeting him for coffee, and the prick didn't even buy her a latte? His jaw ticked. Shit. She'd been so close to him, and for how long, he wondered. And why here, in Norfolk? Was she happy? Were she and that guy together?
Ah,
Mike nodded slowly as understanding dawned.
So I repeat, uh-oh. It's nothing.
Mike picked up his sandwich.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not nothing. Not with your eyes shooting daggers across the damn room.
Nick picked up his sandwich.
Do I need to confiscate your firearm? No.
But it was hard to eat with his jaw so tight, hard to swallow with a lump in his throat. Was she more than just with him? He'd only let the idea of Mia loving someone else slip past his defenses a handful of times over the years. But why wouldn't she? Mia had a lot of love to give, even if she'd stopped giving it to him. Only a few times had he let himself go back to those times, given in to the memories and feelings of having Mia's love. He couldn't afford to do it often, because his heart wanted so badly to stay there. He wasn't so angry anymore. If Hannah needed someone, he was glad she'd had Mia. But why hadn't he known? Mike went on about his wife, and he tried to follow.
So, why don't you just watch the game somewhere else? Because I just bought that big-ass screen to watch the game?
Besides, why do I want some fucking Sox fan watching the game on my new TV, rubbing his fucking Sox junk all over my new couch?
You've got a point. Damn right I do.
You see, that's the problem with getting married. You can date someone and have sex and everything else, but the second you get married, bam, you're supposed to love every other blood relative, and even ones who aren't blood.
Nick nodded. One thing he'd learned from his partner. New Jersey families were like many nations, complete with their own 100-year wars, treaties, and alliances. And all of them so damn tightly bonded, it made the constant bitching funny. Mia and her companion had fallen into what looked like a serious conversation. Though Mia was doing most of the talking, the man nodding. When he spoke, her chin dropped. After some time, he reached out and laid his hand over hers in what looked like comfort. Nick hated that it wasn't him.
So, who is she?
He didn't pretend to misunderstand, though he wanted to. He and Mike had been friends for years, partners for almost a decade, yet Mike knew nothing of the woman Nick had once planned to marry.
Someone I used to know. By the way you're grinding your teeth, I'd say you more than knew her.
Nick watched Mia turn the cup in her hand.
You'd be right about that.
Oddly, his admission shut Mike up, and they ate in silence. Minutes later, Mia pushed back in her chair slowly, almost reluctantly. The asshole did the same, then stepped into her space, closer than casual. Mia nodded at whatever he said, and they embraced. When the guy cupped her shoulders and kissed her cheek, Nick pushed back, glad when his chair scraped the floor. The man was out the door and off in a rush, leaving Mia to drop her empty cup in the trash. Well, he had trash to drop too, didn't he? He stood.
Shit,
Mike muttered behind him. In three strides, he met her at the trash can.
Hey.
She looked up, obviously surprised. Hey.
Are you okay?
Of course. He didn't like the look in her eyes. Had that skinny jeans-wearing asshole put it there?
I'll walk you out.
That's not necessary.
I'll do it anyway.
He waited for her to move past, then reached across her body to open the door. Together, they stepped outside, and he had a flash of another day they'd walked outside together. He was sure he smelled that same fresh citrus scent. They walked silently to her car and stopped. The sky had darkened to an ominous steel blue. The wind bent the small trees in the parking lot. Mia's eyes met his, then looked away quickly. Wary.
His fault.
They hadn't exactly left things on a good note in her office a few days back. Also his fault. There was something else in her eyes. Something sad. Lost. What had happened to his Mia? At one time, they'd both been so sure of themselves, of each other and what they were together.
I want to apologize for the other day, and in the hospital. I shouldn't have come at you like that. It was a shock seeing you, and then with Hannah's thing, and I was...
upset? He huffed out a small laugh.
Yeah, you could say that. I'm glad Hannah had you. Has you. If she needs to talk to someone.
His eyes searched hers, ran over her face, lower, then back to her lips.
She's seeing that guy again, McKinney.
I know. Right. She probably knew before he did. He tried not to let that bother him. How the hell could he protect Hannah or anyone if he didn't know what was going on? I know his sister Lizzie. We met through some area psychology groups. Of course, I can't vouch for Stephen, but she's a good person. They're a nice family, if that helps.
It does.
But his mind was suddenly less on that and more on the woman in front of him. A cool downdraft of air pushed against them and pressed the pale silk blouse against Mia's breasts. A piece of hair blew over her face, and he reached to tuck it behind her ear. So did she, and their fingers brushed. He felt the sizzle all the way up his arm, and again, his eyes went to her lips. He knew the taste of them, the feel of them on his. Had that man kissed them? Did he know how she tasted there? Everywhere? Without thought, his body moved closer like it knew where it belonged.
Who was that man?
Her only response was to raise one delicate eyebrow. Of course it was none of his business. That didn't help a damn bit. But she looked tired, and there was something in her eyes.
He upset you.
No, he didn't.
You never could lie to me.
I never tried. What would she do if he leaned in and covered her mouth with his? He could barely think, standing close enough to touch her, and didn't trust his hand not to shake if he did. She was his. She'd always been his. The thought of another man touching her. It didn't make sense. The jealousy after all this time. But it didn't have to make sense. What was between them didn't make sense. It just was. And it was in the past. But it didn't feel like the past. It felt like right fucking now. She was right here, right now. He could smell her. Would swear he could feel the strands of her hair slipping through his fingers like water. God, he wanted to touch her.
Are you dating him?
Nick! She looked at him like he was crazy. Maybe he was.
He's not your type,
he said, more angry than he had a right to be. She shifted, her eyes narrowing. Well, it's been a long time. Maybe you don't know me anymore. Chapter 13. Nick feathered his thumb over her cheek, and her breath backed up in her lungs.
I know you,
he said. Didn't he know how much it hurt to see him, to touch him? Didn't he know how much she had suffered at being without him? She didn't see any sign of suffering in his eyes, but then again, she couldn't read his eyes like she had once. Still so beautiful, she thought, but there were slight differences she hadn't noticed before, A little older, tougher. The angles of his handsome face a little sharper. She tried not to notice the dark polo shirt stretched across his chest, remembering the way her cheek had rested so perfectly there. Tried not to look at the sleeves hugging his arms. He'd always been broad-shouldered and strong, but he seemed bigger now, harder, sexier. Or maybe she'd just forgotten. No, she hadn't forgotten anything. Her heart raced, remembering the feel of him under her hands. Her gaze fell lower, to the wide stance of his hips. He carried a gun, which was hot. Not that he needed any help in that area. He'd always been a little out of her league in that regard. Like, he was the tall, dark, and male half of Mr. and Mrs. Smith with his badge and his holstered handgun, while she was closer to chess club champion. But they'd fit. They'd fit like they'd come from the same mold. He took a step closer until her body was sandwiched between his and her car. Not even touching her, but so close she could feel him. Too close. His powerful, confident stance was as much a part of him as his dark, intelligent eyes staring deeply into hers. He had her pinned with both now. His dark gaze swept the length of her, making her shiver. Slowly, he tucked another blowing tendril behind her ear, and a hot, tingling sensation shot straight through her. She bit her lip and looked at the cracked asphalt beneath her feet. She didn't want to feel this way. It was ridiculous. It made her angry. With a finger under her chin, he brought her eyes up to his.
I haven't seen you in 10 years. Can't you even look at me?
Her stomach clenched at the softness in his voice and his melted chocolate eyes. It was easier when he was angry with her. She gripped her keys tighter until the metal dug into her palm. She didn't want him to see what was in her heart, and if he looked too long, he would. But then, because he'd asked, she did, and she didn't want to look away. She'd missed his eyes, dreamed of them. Her hand came up to rest of its own accord on his chest, and their gazes held. If seeing him again made her face hot and her pulse pound, being this close to him made her dizzy. Touching him broke her heart. 10 years was surely long enough to get over someone, plenty long enough. But if their end had been all about Hannah, then why not come back to her after Hannah had recovered? Unless he really blamed her. Or unless there had been something else that made him stop loving her. Because that's what he'd done. And in order to survive, she'd forced herself to do the same. He hadn't just broken her heart. He'd shattered her. She dropped her hand. Why are you doing this? Her voice was so soft, her words almost caught up by the wind.
It's still the same,
he whispered. No. No, it's not. She felt the tears in her eyes, knew he would hear them in her voice, and hated it. She opened her car door and got in.